This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's see, how can I say that? Good morning. Yeah, whatever. It's Backspin Golf from the Square Country Club right here on Main Street in Lexington. Boy, that fairway on number one right down Main Street towards, going that way. It's perfect. I could roll a putt for miles on that, with, of course, my incredible putter that I got from the one and only, back with me again this week. He wasn't around last week. He was doing something. Perry French. Hi, Perry French.
Good morning there, Matthew. How are things going?
Wow, they're going. They're going. Everything is copacetic. How about that word?
Copacetic, yeah. It's been one of those, it list has to go into the craziest golf season we've all experienced. And it's just, I can't even, is it September? It's Labor Day weekend? What?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, that's right.
I thought this COVID thing was supposed to make you wonder what to do with your time. But, it's kind of crazy, right? It's literally crazy.
Yep.
The season's rolling, and big news yesterday announced by the PGA Tour, 50 events for the 2021 season, the wraparound season, which starts, interestingly enough, next week.
I was going to say, it started 2 months ago, apparently, or something. I missed all that.
Right.
But, yeah, it's going to be wild. Before we get to tour stuff and our normal conversation about things, I want to play something for you. I had a little conversation with a good friend of mine, and I want you to listen, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Sure.
So, Michael Cunningham, NFP, my insurance peep and peeps, the greatest. So, you called me a couple days ago, and you said, because you heard me talking about this short game clinic and wedge deal with Cleveland Wedges and Perry French and Brad, you were there. You were there?
Yes, I was.
Well, it would have been nice if you told me, I just want you to tell me what happened over there, how great it was.
Yeah, it was a great clinic. I got there, went into the office, and Brad got me signed up, and we went out to the chipping area with Perry, and he had his two bags of, must have been 50 or 75 wedges.
Yeah.
And we got the, even had wedges for left-handers like myself. So that's always a task right there.
Wow.
But we went through for 30 minutes just the basic fundamentals. Don't change your swing. Keep doing these things over and over. And it was really surprising to me, but it kind of worked when you just simplify it. So it was great working with Perry. I mean, it was just very simple. He could talk to the average golfer like myself.
Right. He's great that way because he does that with me, although I'm way better than average. I mean,
absolutely you are.
But and along with this whole short game clinic that you did, you also got a new wedge, right?
Correct, yeah. That was part of the hour-and-a-half clinic.
Mm-hmm.
You get your choice of a wedge, and he had every degree and loft, and I think four different models, and I ended up choosing the CBX.
Yep.
And at a different degree I didn't have, and it was really cool to be able to try all those together and the different models. So,
yeah.
I mean, I can't recommend that enough, and I think it's a little more personalized than maybe a big demo day type of thing.
Yeah.
But it was nice, hands-on, and could really feel a difference in clubs.
And that, you've already said you haven't even had it that long, but that wedge has really helped you, right?
It really has. I got a wedge that I was needing for, you know, certain yardage that I didn't have. And it's like, wow, I can actually hit a green. That's kind of fun. It makes golf a little more fun.
Oh, you think? Maybe I ought to try that, although I never miss a green. All right.
Exactly.
Thank you for sharing that with us. And I will see you real soon. And thanks again for everything you're doing for me and my family with NFP. It's just fantastic.
Absolutely.
How about that, Perry French? Perry French.
Well, that's pretty cool. You know, interestingly enough, Michael did mention that he goes, "You're on the radio show with Matthew." I go, "Yes, I am." So he goes, "Oh yeah." And so he had mentioned that at the end of our session. So and obviously as a lefty, he one of the four people he was the only left-handed one, which we always seem to have a lefty in the group. But he was great. I think we try to make those clinics informative, with some simple things to focus on and try to create some confidence in the players when they leave, you know, to go practice and work on. Because if you walk away from anything instruction wise, whether it be a full lesson or something specific to your game, if you walk away without something to focus on, it makes it very difficult to feel like you've got anything to take and work on to be successful. I said, that's not going to happen every swing. But if you're trying to hit that shot with at least a semblance of order to what you're doing and you pull it off, then you get the confidence. Mm-hmm. Just because you don't hit it perfect every time, that's golf. You know, that's why you practice. That's why these pros practice 2 and 3 hours a day in their short game arena to learn all the different shots. Said most of us don't have the luxury of that. So you have to learn how to get to those shots on the course and be efficient and not go, "Oh my gosh, what do I do here?"
Right.
That's what we're trying to get through in the clinic. And we take them through the short game, meaning about a 20 to 40 yard shot, which is always fun because most people want to get close to the green, but it seems like when they get close to the green, they get more afraid.
Why are you saying that to me, Perry French?
Exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, the bunker shot. And then what we did the last piece was kind of some full swing shots where you kind of figure out where Michael found a wedge that was kind of filling a gap.
Yeah.
For his game that he needed to approach the green with. So yeah, good stuff. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, but he talked about that wedge and how great it is, and you know, maybe someday I'll get the one I've been waiting for months.
Yeah, Christmas is around the corner.
Oh, stop it! I'm not waiting until Christmas, pal. All right, now let's talk a little bit about the Tour Championship that's going on, and talk to me about your feeling. First of all, we didn't talk last week, but that whole thing last week with John Rahm and DJ, and DJ making that putt and then Rahm making a 66-footer, and the whole it was unbelievable what we were watching.
It certainly was. It was equivalent in my books to, you know, watching that great a walk-off home run in a playoff game. It was that kind of dramatic finish. You know, it was just this fun. It was a ending play. It was an ending shot. It was the game ending touchdown, whether it was a Hail Mary play or the 15-yard pass with 5 seconds to go. It was just that kind of drama. And you know, what I was totally amazed about was that those two putts, if you actually were to, and I don't know if they did this, I don't recall because I didn't watch the wrap-up of it, but the putt that DJ made was eerily the same putt that Rahm made.
Almost exactly.
22-feet footer.
Right.
The putt came off the ridge the same way, looked like it was going to be wide to the left, and then swung back, and then swung back to the left. It went right, then back left at the cup, and just absolutely dead center both putts. And they couldn't have been any better back-to-back. I can only remember recent history, and it's just something probably bizarre, but it was a European Tour event. Russell Knox, who was a Strixon player, and I remember this because it was him.
Yeah,
he got to the 18th hole. Don't know the name of the event. He had about a 50 footer from across the green to tie. He rolled it in, 50 footer to tie. The guy behind the pro behind him, you know, made a par. They go to the playoff. They play 18 again. He literally hits the second shot within inches of where he was, and he made it again.
Yep, it I remember
just,
this.
You know, it was just bizarre, like, to make that same putt twice you know, it happens. And it was just, that's the kind of finish that was great. That's why, you know, that's why we'll watch. And so this week, I don't think we'll be disappointed. I think it's going to be a phenomenal week. The 30-player field is the top 10 guys. My goodness, are they playing good golf?
Yeah.
You know, from DJ to Rahm to Justin Thomas, you know, Webb Simpson, Colin Moore, Kyle Berger, you know, DeChambeau. I mean, Matsuyama, these guys are playing their game right now. So I don't know, and I have this kind of thing I've worked up the why DJ will win and why he won't win.
Right? Okay, share those.
And why he will lose. So I think in the why he will win category is, do you realize he's got two runner-ups and an 11-shot win in his last three events? He's playing pretty good.
he's playing all right.
You know, I think he's playing pretty well. I like his momentum. I think his mind is in the right place. And the fact that there's not a layoff this week, while it may seem like, oh, can he keep it going for 4 weeks? The answer is, why not?
Right.
He sure can. If he took a week off because there was a gap, I think there may be a chance that he comes back and is a little bit off. But I think he is in full mode. He's got this, you know, this $45 million pool that they're playing for called the FedEx Cup.
You know,
$15 million for first. It's going to be his to claim because of the momentum and the way he's putting. I think his putting has been the biggest reason the last 3 weeks that he's,
right,
he's taken this this leap across the landscape.
Yeah.
Why he will lose.
Okay.
Why he will not win. The field behind him. I mean, five shots sounds like an insurmountable lead on Sunday, but it's the Friday. It's the first day. So five shots over the next four rounds between this quality of field, that's going to be his biggest challenge. Rahm two behind, JT three behind. This is not a lead. This is a starting pole in a race.
Right.
Right. So right. By the time we get to 250 laps or what is it, or 72 holes, I think he's going to have a tough challenge because the guys behind him are playing that well. And I think as the FedEx Cup has proved, the leader of the FedEx, now a lot of this was points-based before this new system of the starting, the staggering scoring.
Right.
But very few leaders win the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Thomas won last, or Rory won last year, and he was in the fifth or sixth position.
Coming from behind. You know, right.
Coming from behind. And I don't think that it's going to be an issue for DJ to have a two-shot lead. He's just going to play golf.
Yeah. Well,
it's not going to be anything that's going to change the way he approaches the game.
Right.
On a Sunday.
Right. Okay. We got 2 minutes left. What about this, you know, DJ is 10 under and Rahm is 8 under and all the way back to even. I don't like it. It's just me. I would rather just see a tournament.
I think I agree with you 100%, first of all. So
yeah.
there's a first. I think you're right. You've qualified. Listen, every time you win a playoff game or you win a series in a playoff series, you start the next series with a team who's done the same, and there's no difference. There's
right.
no advantage because you're – and I realize that the regular season or the Tour Championship qualifying FedEx Cup points should get you in. That's how you determine who makes the field. But I think from day one, when they start that day, the first event of 100, 120 players, it's low 70 and in. The next one is low 50 and in, however they want to break it down. But you just play. So there's no points. There's no cumulative points. You've got to the regular season's a regular season. I think they need to change that up as well. I think they just use the point system because that's the only way you can equally do it.
Right.
Throughout the multiple events, the 50 tour event schedule. But when it's time for the playoff.
When you get, and especially when you get to the 30.
And guess why? That way, Webb Simpson doesn't take a week off and make the finals. You don't get, you know.
There you,
you
go.
You get to do that. You got to play three consecutive weeks or whatever the schedule allows.
Right.
They may do it next year where you could do it, you know, that not scenario where you play 2 weeks, have a week off in the Tour Championship. It's not going to happen next year. We got the Olympics. We got the Ryder Cup. Holy cow, what a year. We're going to have two Masters in 6 months.
I'm exhausted.
It's going to be amazing.
But, I'm exhausted already. Just saying.
We just get started. We're just getting started.
Here's the good news,
though.
We
get to do the show through November, right?
Yeah. Here's the good news. The good news is that starting with this 50-event schedule next week or whatever it is, by the third hole, we'll already have a FedEx Cup leaderboard on on that tournament for 50 events from now. I can't stand it. Anyway, well, it's great to have you back. I can just say that. And hopefully you don't miss any more. I'm going to start docking your pay. I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right. Hi, Chris Mascaro.
Hi, Chris.
Next on the tee, best golf podcast on podbean.com. All right, Per. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Perry French. Perry French. We'll be back. This is going to be great. Jim Herman, the winner of our 2019 Barbasol Championship, who, oh, by the way, a couple weeks ago won the Wyndham. We're going to talk to Jim, and it's pretty cool. Great story. And then Beth Ann Nichols from Golf Week Magazine will talk some the women's game with one of the best journalists around. It's Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. And I'm really excited because we have great guests every week. But it's not often we have PGA Tour event winners, A. B, a PGA Tour event winner that won a tournament right here in Lexington. There's a whole bunch of stuff that Jim Herman has done that I can't wait to talk to him about. Hi, Jim. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, great to be on, Matthew.
We all remember you now. We are the official station of the Barbasol Championship. So the first 2 years, we did shows every day from out there during the tournament. And a couple years ago, when you beat Kelly Kraft by a shot, was one of the more exciting tournaments that we've covered. I want you to start there. I want you to talk to us about being on the tour, and it had been a couple of years since you had won an event. Tell us what it was like playing in the Barbasol in 2019 and eventually winning it.
Sure. Well, yeah, I won the Houston Open
right.
in 2016.
Right.
So, you know, got through a little injury in 2018 that spilled over into 2019. And on the tour, they take care of you when you get an injury and you miss some time. But it's not the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you have I was on a medical leave, and then mm-hmm. I was coming back, and I was playing Barbasol. It was actually after my medical starts were over. So my 3-year two-year exemption had run out a few weeks before.
Yep.
And I was just playing on the past champion status. So it was nice to come to the area and, you know, growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Just up the road. And, you know, I had a lot of good vibes, even though I was a little down from, you know, losing my full-time status on the tour. I still knew I was going to get in some events, and especially this one at Barbasol, and it being so close to Cincinnati, I had a good feeling, and I was really looking forward to it.
You know,
I was just saying the week started off like any other, and you know, you don't know when you're teeing off Thursday morning that this is going to be, you know, very few people in the golf world, maybe Tiger Woods and some others, maybe Dustin Johnson right
yeah.
now, know that they're going to be in contention. But Thursday was just a nice, solid round of golf. I think I was 7-under. There were some low scores.
Yeah,
and,
there were.
Put myself into some good shape through 2 rounds. I'm sorry, I can go on, or you can ask
no.
something else.
No, but, go ahead. I, you know, this is
sure.
interesting.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just like this past win at Wyndham. For me, I was in the middle of the pack. I was 34th, and you know, you just don't know what's going to happen on the Wyndham on the weekend. And at Wyndham, like at Barbasol, I really went low on Saturday to you know, get in the final group for Barbasol, and then to get near the lead because I was so far back at Wyndham.
Mm-hmm.
And you need rounds like that. You need something special at least one day to get in the mix. And right. 62 or 61, like I did at Wyndham, really, really helps their cause.
Okay. Now, we'll skip ahead to the Wyndham,
yep.
which was just a couple of weeks ago. And all of us, people that listen to the show and me, I've been, you know, golf has been a big part of my life for a long time. And so I'm looking at the 2020 season here. And this is what's incredible and why we love this game so much. For the few weeks before the Wyndham, which was the 13th to the 16th of August, just a couple weeks ago, there was kind of a rough patch here for you, I'll just
sure.
say. And then all of a sudden, at the Wyndham, which was the last regular season event before the FedEx Cup started, as you said, 66, 69, and then on the weekend, 61, 63. Are you kidding me? What did you have to eat Friday night before that weekend? That's what I want to know.
Well, there's a little secret to that. Obviously, golfers are, at least this particular golfer, is very superstitious.
Me
so
too.
Whatever I have Wednesday night better be good, because if I play well Thursday, it's going to be Thursday and so on and so on. So I'm just doing some takeout, and I went to the grocery store, and lo and behold, they had Skyline Chili in the freezer section.
Oh, boy.
At the Harris Teeter in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go for that. You know, I'm stuck in my hotel room. We're not eating out. It's
right.
It's only takeout. I have a microwave. Here we go. Get a bag of shredded cheese, and here we are. A good Cincinnati boy having a three-way in the hotel room on Wednesday night. So, lo and behold, I had that every night.
Well, of course you did. I mean.
Yep.
And I can tell you that a lot of people listening now are going to be having Skyline Chili before they go out to play. I'm just telling you.
Nothing wrong with that. You never know with golf. It's
right.
You're never as bad as you think you might be. In the weeks leading up, I was, you know, high man at the PGA Championship on Sunday the week before.
Mm-hmm.
You're never as bad as you think you are. And sometimes when you're really on, you know, maybe you're not as good as you might think. But we only need to think about the good things. But it was just, you know, putting everything together. I made a few mistakes on Friday that put me in jeopardy of the cut line, just a few putts here and there that I was a little aggressive with. And
mm-hmm.
I just tightened that up, and I played some really solid golf and was able to roll a few putts in, just get some momentum going. And then once you get it going, just like the year prior at Barbasol, I know Kelly Kraft had a 61 on Saturday. I shot 62.
Yeah.
You know, once you get going in that zone, you just don't want to get in your own way. And the best way to do that, I've told everyone, is just to keep the momentum going. You make a birdie, let's hit that next fairway. You know, you make mm-hmm. another birdie, let's hit that next fairway, hit that next green. Don't put pressure on yourself to be having to play from the rough or play from, you know, miss a green, short side yourself. Just give yourself another opportunity and see what happens.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, last year, just quick story, I shoot seven under, and I have a one-shot lead going into the weekend. I shoot 62, 10 under, and I still have a one-shot lead going into Sunday. That's some crazy stuff.
It ain't that easy out there, is it, Jim?
It sure isn't.
Yeah, I just want to throw this in because you're kind of glossing over it a little bit, but 61-63 to close – second such score of 124 or better by a winner in PGA Tour history. Hello. So,
yeah.
You know, you're being awful humble, hitting fairways and greens, and you rolled in a couple of putts. That's really something.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah, Stuart Appleby had 59 in that final
yeah.
round and, you know, had the same weekend score.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty – pretty cool whenever my career is over and you look back at the tournaments you've won and some records that you know that mm-hmm. you have that I have and that are going to be difficult to beat, and it's just cool that you know, every sport has records, and, you know, it's nice to have your name on it.
Absolutely. Boy, is that the truth. All right, let's talk a little bit about, so that you moved up, you were out of the FedEx Cup playoffs, you moved up into the FedEx Cup playoffs, obviously, with that win, and you played in the playoffs. You won't be playing at the Tour Championship, but still, you know, getting into those events at the end of the year in the FedEx Cup is really a great thing also.
Yeah, it's the tour. I mean, we're very blessed. All the tour players, we're very blessed. We play play a game of golf, and we get paid very well. And you know, this we have major championships that we play for, the Players Championship. But this FedEx Cup playoffs has really been a great addition. You know, we're over a decade more of playoffs, and it's just been a great addition. Just kind of wind up the season. Give it a true end, a true finish, and you know, it's just been very exciting, and I think it really adds to the PGA Tour schedule. I know the majors really dominate it, but I think this has been a really good addition, and it's obviously not going anywhere.
Right, we have just a few minutes left with you. We're speaking with Jim Herman. Talk to us a little bit about. I've been talking for weeks ever since the pandemic hit, and we've had the restart. About what it's like playing with no fans out there as a TV viewer, Jim. I actually like not having. I like seeing the whole golf course. I like, you know, the shots with no stands, the way a golf course was built. Talk to us a little about what it's like for a PGA Tour player in these events to play with no fans.
Yeah, it was definitely a change, you know, just coming up 18, coming up the ninth hole, you know, no grandstands, especially on those holes, you know, when you're finishing on Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something to it, you know, when at least if you have some gallery, whether there's four people or 400 people or 4,000 people around the hole, you have some idea on an approach to a green.
Right,
that
right.
You hit a good shot.
Yep.
So my biggest example is just the last hole at Wyndham. I had a uphill 200-yard approach shot to an uphill green into the sun, and I couldn't see anything. I've got a one-shot lead, and I hit a brilliant 5-iron, and I got my hands on my hips looking, and I was like, I can't see anything.
You can't hear
no
anything.
Reaction. Can't hear anything. I was like, did I hit it? It was right on line. I was like, did I hit it perfect, or did I hit it over the green? Normally, when there's no applause, you miss the green,
right.
And, you know, you're going to have some work. But I get up there. And I've got, you know, 8 feet for birdie and a putt to win the thing outright. I'm like, man, I wish I'd have known that about 3 minutes ago.
That's that 200
stress that I had walking up.
Yeah, I was going to say that 200-yard walk up to the green is kind of anxiety ridden.
Exactly. Is it perfect or is it over the green? But that's just one example. I think we all miss the fans, and I sure hope we get rid of this pandemic, get it over with, and you know, get some vaccines and.
Yep.
Let's get some fans out there as soon as possible, and we sure love playing for the TV, but it's great having the fans right there to give you that support.
It sure is. All right, before I let you go, I want you to tell us about the Barbasol Championship Charity Golf Tournament we talk about. I've talked about it a little. Now, you won't be here because you're going to be in the Zozo. You and Tiger, you know, are going to be in the Zozo the same week, but... As a champion here at Barbasol, I know it's really important to you.
Sure, that's one thing. When you we play week to week in all these cities, but it's great being a champion of an event. You get to come back, do some media day, talk about the tournament, sell it to the community, just be a part of it because you are their champion, and you want to help out as much as you can. So, the Barbasol Championship and the Caddy 127, they're having the charity golf tournament. It's held on the 16th of October coming up, and I think they have a Taste of the Tour reception that evening before on the 15th.
Right. Yep.
Just going to be a good time. They're looking to raise money. That's what we do. We look to we're very lucky. We play for a lot of money, but we raise a lot of money for charity in the communities. And you got Make-A-Wish Foundation, great Woodhill Community Center, the Kentucky Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
All God's Children, and Refuge for Women. just great charities. I got to, you know, on the media day, get to go to the Children's Hospital there in Lexington. And,
that's something.
Just see these kids, and, you know, it just breaks your heart when, you know, the little kids dealing with these problems. And anything we can do to raise some money to help them out is such a huge thing.
Absolutely. It's great. We're going to miss having you here, but it's for a really good reason, because you're playing in the Zozo, and that's a pretty big deal. And I can't thank you enough, Jim, for taking some time. It's truly wonderful to talk to you. We're going to be rooting for you as we go forward here. And thanks so much for being with us. Oh, and by the way, go Bengals, right?
Yeah, let's go. We got to get Joe Burrow. Let's get him in there and protect him, see what he can
yeah.
do. We need a winner up there in Cincinnati. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll all see right. how it all plays out.
Thanks so much, Jim. Take good care.
Thank you, Matthew.
Okay. That was pretty cool. Jim Herman. Man, what this is, it's just some story. I didn't say it to him. He missed 8 of 10 cuts before he won the Wyndham a couple weeks ago. 8 out of 10, and then he wins one of the big tournaments of the year on the PGA Tour. That's golf, peeps. All right, we'll be back. ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. Yay, Sean, I'm so excited. It's Backspin Golf. I'm so excited because, as I always say, one of my favorite people in the world who I've never met is on with me now to talk some women's golf. Nobody better, and wait till I tell her what our friend said. Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer for Golf Week, joins us now. Hi, Beth Ann.
Hello. Happy to join you.
Oh.
Blushing as always.
Oh, thank you. All right, before we get started, last week on the show, I had Emily Kay on the show, and we talked a little bit. And I told her that you and Beth Ann Nichols are my two favorite, and she said it was the highest compliment she may ever have been paid.
Aww.
I'm just telling you, that's how people think about you, Ms. Nichols.
Ah, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Emily.
Here's where I want to start, because we haven't spoken for a while. With Sophia Popoff and the Women's Open Championship at Royal Troon. First of all, watching that tournament, which I watched all 4 days of that tournament, was one of the great experiences watching golf, I think, that I've ever had. I was mesmerized by the whole thing and by her story in particular. It was fantastic.
Agreed. I mean, first of all, it's the first time the women are playing Royal Troon for the Open Championship, and it's, you know, that in and of itself is a big deal, and I thought the R&A did a tremendous job setting up the golf course all 4 rounds. The first 2 days were absolutely brutal.
Oh.
So, you know, which is fun, right? Watching the car accident.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like a lot of rubbernecking. And so, you watch them, you know, struggle the first 2 days. And then the second, you know, the weather clears up. And by Sunday, especially, you know, it's a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
And the women were able to show off, and you know, none more than, of course, Sophia Popoff, who wasn't even an LPGA member, you know, as we know, missed her card by a single stroke last year, lost it, and been playing on the Symetra Tour and the Cactus Tour, which I've never written at all about the Cactus Tour, really, until this year when they were the only game in the country, basically, for women. Eglin's Best played in a few, but I mean, Cactus Tour played on throughout the entire thing, somewhat controversially.
Yes.
And Sophia, you know, won her first professional title on the Cactus Tour earlier this year. So from the Cactus Tour to major champion, it's an unbelievable Cinderella story.
Now, here's what I hope you can explain to me, because I can't I just can't grasp this. Even though she's a major champion, she is not allowed to play in the, well, I don't know if it's allowed is the right word. She won't be playing in the U.S. Women's Open, or she's not at the ANA, the other major that's going on this week, the ANA Inspiration. Is that right? She can't play in those.
So essentially, when you win a major championship, you get a 5-year exemption in right. all the other majors. And because everything is out of order this year due to COVID-19, usually, you know, the ANA is the first major of the year, and it's going to be played in extraordinarily crazy high temperatures next week in the desert.
Oh, come on. 115 isn't that bad. Come on.
And I live in Florida, and I'm still kind of like, wow. So Sophia will not be in the field next week because her exemptions are going to start in 2021, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. She can still play in the U.S. Women's Open by virtue of her ranking if she maintains that position. There's a very high probability that she will be able to play her way into that ranking. But I still think the U.S. Women's Open should have granted her an exemption just to take out the
any
small
kind
chance
of doubt.
That she that she doesn't get in it. So, and I think it would have been a great PR move on the USGA's part as well. So, I mean, you know, look, the LPGA, this is, as Mike Wan has said multiple times, this is the year of the asterisk, you know,
yeah.
like this is the most unusual year in sports
history
for our lifetimes. Right. So,
yep.
you know, I think that if there was ever a year to make it, you know, an exception to the rule, this is it. And look, the LPGA needs to capitalize as much as they can on these types of stories and this type of momentum, because this grabbed the attention of a lot of people who don't normally follow the women's game.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the life of me, I cannot understand how the LPGA cannot see the bigger picture here and say, you know what? These are out. The majors are out of order this year. You know, if she would have been in off the money list alone, you know, okay. So if she was a member of the LPGA, you know, the $600,000 that she won, at Royal Troon would have counted toward the money list, and she would have gotten in that way.
Right.
But because that money is unofficial until she, you know, becomes a member, which will start in Portland. That, which is in a couple weeks, that money doesn't count. So there was no way for her to play her way into this, you know, elite invitational mm-hmm. field. And so unfortunately it's a theme, in my opinion, with the LPGA, you know, and why do we have to be so black and white? You know, I mean, why can't you look at what you can do to help grow the tour, help grow the game in this most unique time? And nobody's going to question it. Because my goodness, the caddies are using carts next week.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, weird stuff is happening, and nobody's going to say, well, wait a second. Why isn't the girl that just won a major championship now in another major?
Right.
No one's going to say that.
Right.
So, you know, instead, now you're going to get, why is it? Someone literally just asked me this on Twitter. Is Sophia in the field in response to my story about caddies being
yeah.
able to use carts? And how many people are going to ask that question over the course of the next week? And it's such a shame.
Well, I can tell you, Sean, my producer, who you know kind of roundabout because he's been doing this with me every time you've been on with me. he just had, when you were explaining that, he just had that look on his face of kind of incredulity. Like, what? What? And more people now know the name Sophia Popoff. If you said who is Sophia, people that aren't even really golf fans or whatever know who she is based on that weekend, which more people watched. I don't know what the numbers are, but I can't tell you how many of my friends said, you know, I don't really watch that much women's golf, but man, that tournament was amazing. I mean, and as you said, mm-hmm. it really is kind of inexplicable why the LPGA is not capitalizing. on that. It's ridiculous. This is why you need to be the commissioner of the LPGA. I've said it before.
I don't know about that, but this one just absolutely baffles me, yeah. and I will never understand it.
All right, now you just brought up your terrific column about the ANA and what's going on out there. Let's go through that a little bit. So there, it's out in the desert, and forget about the desert. Just in Southern California, a friend of mine sent me a picture of the weather forecast just in the cities next week in California. And there were 2 days where it said, I think, 112. And then the third day it said 105, not so hot.
I know.
And so, as you said, caddies will be able to use carts. Now, obviously, the players are going to walk, but they're not carrying golf bags. But you said some of the caddies are still going to walk with them. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I reached out to a handful of caddies yesterday when the memo went out, and I said, are you going to take a cart? And of course, the caddies that I'm asking, you know, are veteran caddies, and all of them happen to work for players who've won the ANA.
Interestingly enough.
But there are three of the four said absolutely not. it's more hassle and for a variety of reasons. You know, I'm fit enough. I do hot yoga. I don't need to worry about that.
Oh.
it disrupts my routine. You know, I've never used a cart before, and will you be able to take the cart in the fairway? They don't really know all the rules yet, right? And so, because they haven't really sent out cart rules and regs, they've just said you can take one if you want. And so, another caddy, Stacey Lewis's caddy, was like, "I'll use one any day they want to give me one."
Yeah.
I'm loading it up with ice and cold towels and water it'll be interesting to see, you know, what that looks like and who decides what. And of course, my first phone call was to Lindsay Weaver, who was another darling of Royal Troon, because
yep.
Here she is battling the elements with her push cart.
Yep.
This is an extraordinarily tough golf course in these conditions, and she's out there on her own, and people, you know, a lot of people now know the name Lindsay Weaver, and that became their favorite player while watching her out there. So Lindsay will be, she says, she believes, using her push cart. She has no plans to take a caddy next week, and she's from Arizona, and says, look, you know, I played junior golf and the temperatures were 124 degrees in the summer with my push cart, and I'm cool, you know. I think it'll be, you know, cool, not literally.
I was going to say that may be the wrong use of that word there, but I get
that's,
it. Okay,
that's
yeah.
correct.
Yep.
Yes.
No, she is. That whole story was amazing, too. What can you tell our peeps why she does not have a caddy?
So local caddies aren't being used in the COVID era on the LPGA. You know, there's a bubble. Testing is
right.
You know, it's a huge deal to get in the bubble, and mm-hmm. so because there are no local caddies, and really Lindsay hadn't found a regular caddy that she likes. She usually uses a local caddy or sometimes her mom caddies or her fiance. And so, you know, she's like, well, since I don't really have a, you know, regular caddy, I'm just going to do this on my own and use my push cart, because on the Symetra Tour, which she has competed on, mm-hmm. she used her, you know, those are allowed on a regular basis,
right.
regardless of COVID. So what's been interesting about it, talking to her yesterday, is, you know, she's like, when I'm out there at Troon, you know, she goes, and I hit a bad shot, there's no one to talk to about it. Like, I just have to forget it and move on. There's no one to vent to or have a conversation about it. She's like, so I'm really, you know, from a mental standpoint, it's really helping her to just, you know, stay in the present and move on to the next shot and not dwell on things or, you know, get as angry as you normally would, just let it go because there's no one to talk to. But similarly, she had this extraordinary up and down, and she had this amazing shot from the junk, and you wanted her to like high five someone, like have a moment at Royal Trude, and it was kind of funny because you know there's like no one there. It was hilarious. Actually.
Yeah, I remember that shot too, and she was a great story. Now, before I let you go, the ANA is at the Dynasure course out there in Palm Springs in the desert, and this is the tournament where the winner dives into that pond thing there, right?
Correct. Poppy's Pond.
Poppy's Pond. And that, it's one of our favorite things every year at that tournament, or any tournament, that we look forward to seeing. Because there have been some pretty funny dive-ins with family members and caddies and players at that thing. So who do you think's going to be jumping in the water at the end of this?
I think MV Park is gonna be taking another dip. MV had a fantastic final round at Troon.
Yep.
She feels really good about her putter. When MV feels good about her putter, you know, good luck. So I think MV Park would be my number one pick.
Okay.
Next week.
All right. Well, I'm Sean. We can make a bet on that. We'll wait till next week. All right. Well, as I always say when I talk to you, I can't thank you enough, and it's one of the great joys for me doing this show that I get to speak with you. And be safe and stay cool down there in Florida.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye, Beth Ann.
Bye. Take care.
She is just so wonderful and so talented and what a great person to have writing about the women's game, which I love. I just love it. All right, that'll do it. Thank you to, of course, our great partners. NFP, we heard from Michael Cunningham, insurance, all your insurance needs. Go to nfp.com. Commonwealth Credit Union, same thing for them. These are all peeps. All these peeps are my peeps. I work with all of them. Away from being a partner. Clark's Pump and Shop. Dan Cummins, of course, in Paris and Georgetown. Edwin Watts, Lexington Parks and Rec, French Lick Resort. I guess, Sean, we got to get up there. Can we do a show from up there? Maybe. Let's find an excuse. And, of course, Man of War Golf, best practice facility anywhere. We'll be back next week with another edition of Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. 92.5. Stay tuned.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.